Orachaim Akadosh Parshas Yisro Tav Shin Ayin Zayin. We'll start with the first piece. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Yiskol Asher Asa Elokim LaMoshe LiYisrael Amo Kiyotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. Yisro Kohen Midyan, the priest of Midyan, Chosein Moshe, father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, heard all that Hashem did, all the miracles that Hashem performed for Klal Yisrael, for the promotion of the Jewish people, that He took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. Vayishma Yisrael, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, Tzarech ledas la'eze inyen yichaso b'yichus kohen midyan she'enzo maila el yirida. Why would you want to tell me? You're about to tell me that Yisro is joining Klal Yisro. You're about to tell me that Yisro is going to be molding Klal Yisro, helping us to function better. You want to tell me that Yisro is Chosein Moshe, that he's Moshe's father-in-law? I get it. But why is the Pasuk still calling Yisro by the Yichus of Kohen Midyan? Why give him the title Kohen Midyan? He's the greatest priest of Avodah Zarah who ever lived. That's not a Maila, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, that's a Yerida. It would be good to forget one's past. Again, if one's past is Avodah Zarah. So why, as Yisro is now joining Klal Yisrael, are we still mentioning that, oh, by the way, he's formerly Kohen Midyan? Midyan. In fact, it's not a Gnai. It's not a disgrace for him. It's not an act of being disrespectful of Yisro. Chavetz Chaim Paskins. Chavetz Chaim Paskins, that you're not allowed to remind the Baal Tshuva of his troubled past. You're not supposed to say to a person, oh, I remember in the good old days when we used to X, Y, and Z. That stops a person from moving forward, that embarrasses a person. So why would we want to remind Yisro, oh, by the way, you're a non-Jewish priest. Why would we want to print that in the Torah? So says again, the Arachayim HaKadosh. The reason that it says Kohen Midyan is not to embarrass him, Chas V'Shalom, rather it's a shevach of the Ish. It's a praise of the person to call him Kohen Midyan. Lomar she'agam she'ayilo beiz b'chinos haramuzos b'Kohen Midyan, she'meyoso rosh l'Midyan, v'aduk la'avod azara, apal pichein osa beizvarim negdiyim v'hafchiyim l'beiz ha'pratim. Even though Yisro was, number one, a Kohen, he was a chashuv person, it's not easy for a person who's a very chashuv person, who's seen in a certain light, who's a public figure, it's not easy for that person to change directions. We spoke about it in Tzav Aziris this week. Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to be a bird. Right? To step down from a position of power, even if he was a very neutral person, to give up the power that he had, the honor that he received as a Kohen, Midyan, as a leader, was a big deal. All the more so when he was a leader of Avodah Zarah. That means his whole way of life was the opposite of Torah. It's not just a position of power that he had to surrender. He had to surrender a position of power and adopt a lifestyle that is entirely different than the lifestyle with which he was living. It's very interesting. I was on the Beis Din of America's website yesterday, and I was reading their protocols for Geirus, for conversion. And they have a big paragraph there, like, if you want to get involved with this, if you want to get started with this, just realize that becoming Jewish affects every single detail of your life. That every moment of your day, it's going to change the way you live, the way you eat, the way you sleep, where you work, where you live. It's going to change your finances. It's going to change every aspect. Torah governs every aspect of your day. So just realize what you're getting involved with if you want to convert to Judaism. It's not a mere cultural thing. Right? It's a major, major lifestyle change, if you're serious about it. So for Yisro to undergo this double transformation, again, going from such a position, an exalted position of power, and to adopt such a radically different lifestyle than the Avodah Zarah lifestyle that he lived, that's unbelievable. We say, wow, you were Kohen Midyan and you became from? You wanted to transition from Kohen Midyan to Chosein Moshe? We want to tell people, look at this guy, he used to be Kohen Midyan, and now he's Chosein Moshe. And he wants to be, we'll see, he wants to be known as Chosein Moshe. We're gonna transition to the name Chosein Moshe more so than Kohen Midyan, because that's what Yisro is proud of. Yisro says, my achievement in this world is Chosein Moshe. So look, he writes, number one, Keneged hayoso gadol omar Chosein Moshe shenischatin la'adam shalo noda la'gedula adayin. Think about it. Yisro was a very important person. When he meets Moshe Rabbeinu, He doesn't know who this guy is. He doesn't know that he's the future leader of the Jewish people. He doesn't realize that Moshe is a gadol. At that point, Moshe is not such a gadol. And yet Yisro allowed his daughter to marry this person. Right? This is totally against, you know, people of a certain class don't marry in a different class. And yet Yisro in his humility were praising him, were saying, wow, the fact that Kohen Midian was willing to become Chosein Moshe, again, not the Moshe Rabbeinu we know at the end of the story. The Moshe who's a fugitive, who's running away, who's hiding out in Midian because he's running from the cops. And yet Yisro had the humility to take such a son-in-law. That the prince would marry, or the princess would marry some pauper. Right? It's an unusual thing. To give his daughter away to someone of undistinguished lineage. A person with no name, no reputation. So that's an unbelievable thing. That Yisro was willing to give up his madrigos to see the potential of Moshe Rabbeinu, or just have the humility to allow his daughter to marry Moshe Rabbeinu. And secondly, the second major praise of Yisro is not only Kohen Midyan, such a great person, allowed his daughter to marry Moshe, who was a nobody at that point, but the fact that Kohen Midyan, namely, that he was Aduk, he was attached deeply to Avodah Zarah. The Pashup Shad and Kohen, he was a priest. Kohen doesn't just mean a Chashuv person. He was the priest of Midian. He was the Pope. Amar Akasov Masha Amar Besofa Inyan Ati Adati Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim. Mikol Elohim. That Yisro would be able to say at the end, now I know that the Jewish God is the true God. That the Jewish God is greater than any other gods. V'davar zeh ein bo chidish u'mayla gedola ba'amar kein goy echad l'kavu b'torah. Ela b'am so smasha kodem l'yachso b'shem Kohen Midian. It's one thing for Stam, a person from the nations of the world, who's not such a serious, Ovid Avodah Zarah, to acknowledge that God did some great miracles in the way out of Mitzrayim. It's not such a big chiddush for such a... But for the Pope to get up and say, wow, Judaism is the greatest religion of all, that's a big deal. And that's exactly what's happening in this pasuk. It's being miyachis him to Kohen Midian, it's a davar gadol. Shehu, davar gadol hu, shekohen uma achas meham. That a leader from one of the other nations should get up and testify, b'pem malei, the Jewish God is the greatest God of all? That's a big deal. Okay? Then he says, Otam, in the next little paragraph, Otam Omer Kohen Midian, Lomar Be'em Tzos Kein Heisig Ladas Kol Asher Asa Hashem. I'll show you this piece. It's not as exciting in terms of the takeaway as the last piece, but it's a very, again, we have to learn also how the Aruch Chaim reads a Pasuk in Torah. What's the connection between Yisro being called Kohen Midian and the fact that Vayishma Yisro is Kol Asher Asa Elokim L'Moshe L'Yisrael Amo? So you have to realize the respect that we have to have for people who are in positions of power, even if we don't like them, even if we think they're evil, there's a certain kavod that you have to have for a melech or for a nasi. Again, even from the Umas HaOlam. Because the fact that they're in that position, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, that the heart of kings and princes are in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? They have a certain connection, there's a certain involvement that Hashem has with them. Now Hashem might be using them as a puppet to control the world and to move the pieces around to bring us closer to Mashiach. But at the end of the day, they have a certain hashkacha, a certain connection, a very direct connection to Hashem. So how does Yisro know everything that happened? How does Yisro know Eis Kol Asher Asel Elokim L'Moshe L'Yisrael? How did he get the report? He knew it better than everyone else, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is saying. How did he know? He knew it because he's an important person. And important people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows important people to have access to information, not just B'derach HaTeva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to hear things and to know things and to understand things because of their madrig. Otam Omru Kohen Midyan, Lomar, as if to say, Be'amtzos Kein Hisig Ledas Kol Asher Asa Hashem. How did he know everything that Hashem did? Because it was by way of being Kohen Midyan. Ki La'anoshim HaGedolim Yiskala V'yivada HaKol B'tzedek B'lo Tosefes V'geiraon. Because people who are great people, who are big people, again, even if they're not big, holy people, but people who are just having a tia towards godless, people who rise in the ranks of whatever they're trying to rise in. So there's zochet to understand things with a clarity, without a tosefes and without a geraon, without additions and without subtractions. Masha'ein kein l'sha'einim reshus, hagam shi'yivad alahem achadashos, lo yedu kol advarim hanas. As opposed to regular people, they don't have access to things. Right? And there were gedolim who used to, you know, there were gedolim at different points in very different settings, in very different environments, who used to darshan the news. Everything from certain Rosh Yeshiva who would literally come into shir once in a while with the New York Times and say, okay, let's learn up the New York Times, right? Versus, or compared to others who just reflected on current events and had a sharp insight, a keen insight into how world events were going, and were predicting things, major changes of, and rising and falling of government powers and things like that, when it seemed totally unlikely. And tzaddikim got the advance report. So again, a gadol has access to a certain type of knowledge that maybe regular people don't have. In the next little piece, Es Kol Asher Asa, the fact that Yisro knew Kol Asher Asa, everything that Hashem did, actually says something about Yisro's genuine love for the Jewish people. And I think this is an important, I want to do this piece because I think it's an important idea with regard to relationships. If you really care about someone, one way that you can show that you really care, an authentic expression of caring about someone, is that you care about the details of their life. That you care about the details of their life. That you want to know what's going on, the nitty-gritty details of their life. If you don't care that much, if you just have a casual relationship with them, so you don't really care every little thing that happened to them. But if you really love someone, you want to know everything that they are thinking, that they're feeling, that they're experiencing. That's why, if we love Hashem, we take His Torah seriously. And even those parts that Hashem wants to talk to us about, things that we think are boring. The same way, guess what? Your wife's going to one day want to talk to you about some things that are boring. And if you love her, you're going to try to listen, at the very least, to give her your full attention because it matters to her. But more than that, if you really love her, then you're going to care about what she's talking about. The fact that it's important to her makes it important to you. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's called Asher Asa. The fact that Yisro knew all the details, and we'll see a little piece a little bit later maybe, where he gets some additional details, he wants to clarify the details, also shows his care and concern and his genuine interest in Klal Yisrael. Gamze yagid shevach ha'ish, sheishtad ledas kol prate hamasim. Yisro was vayishma Yisro, he listened deeply. He wanted to hear all of the details. Vze yagid ki ahav es Yaakov, and that's an indication that he loved the Jewish people. Yaakov here means the Jewish people. Shahalo tira ish sone lereu. Yakots ba gadas shvachav vituvo viyachto midas matzavo hatov. Because an enemy of a person is repulsed, is disgusted by hearing more and more praises about the person he hates, hearing more and more details about his situation. I don't care about him, I don't want to hear anything about him. So the fact that Yisro is so interested in hearing the details, Asher lokein ahuv la'ahuvo. Right? Not so, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, about someone who loves someone else. You want all the details. And therefore Hashem wanted to record bidato, right? Dat without the ayin, dato, in his Torah. Hashem wanted to record in his Torah the love that Yisro had, the genuine love. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a lesson that there are people in the world, even though there's a halacha, the Rashi quotes halacha, Esav sone es Yaakov. Halacha status quo is the world is out to get us. That's a halacha. That's a reality. But that doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions to the rule. There are tzaddikei umas ha'olam. There is such a concept. So yes, for the most part, as Jews, we need to be cautious. We need to assume the world is out to get us, and we're not, beloved in the eyes of the world, even by those places that are more understanding of the way that we choose to live our lives. But there are individuals who be'emes love the Jewish people and respect the Jewish people. And we should respect them for that. Hashem wants that to be known to us. And again, we learn again this idea of what it means to really love someone. It means I care about every little thing that's going on in that person's life. Okay. Let's go right there. Let's go to Pasuk Beis, Yurchaz Beis. Vayikach Yisro. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. Now you'll notice here, building off what we just learned, now he's no longer called Kohen Midian Chosein Moshe. Here he's just called Chosein Moshe. Because we made the point. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the point in this Torah by calling him Kohen Midian. We already learned the chashivas of his sacrifice to give up Kohen Midian to become Chosein Moshe. But here the Torah is emphasizing how much Yisro wants to be, how much he wants to be known as Chosein Moshe. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe, Pasuk Beis, Perish, Litzad Shehaya Chosein Moshe. 2 points emerge here. Number one, how did Yisro get away with this? Why didn't his old religion come after him? Certainly in the ancient world, if you try to abandon or reject your religion, especially if you became outspoken, they're going to hunt you down. They're going to hang you. They're going to stone you to death. How did Yisro get away with this? It's a good question. L'tzad shahaya chosein Moshe matza asos kacha shahalach lahar elokim shehinichuhu miyir aso shal Moshe. The nations were scared to start up with Moshe. That's how he got away with it. You know how he got away with it? Because he was chosein Moshe. That was his protection. Under normal circumstances, they would have had Yisro hanging from the gallows for his blasphemy. Ki nafle emaso akola amim. The nations were scared of Moshe Rabbeinu. Aval zula ze hayumonin oso mileches lichvor be'emunasam. But besides for that, if not for that, they would never let him get away with this kvira, this rejection of their gods, of their religion. Umagam shechoshud hayubeinayim. V'tim seshekol umatechayim miso lakofer be'emunasam. Right? Yisro should have, again, the practice, the way of the land was that if you reject the religion, then you're burning at the stake. Ulitzad ayos Yisro lechosin Moshe, he sha'am delo. Because he's chosin Moshe, he got away with it. That's point number one. Point number two, why does it say chosin Moshe again here? V'ulai sheyirmoz od. Ki agam sha'ay li Yisro kinoi shal gedula likros koin midyan. Yes, Yisro could have kept on his letterhead. On his stationery, you know, former Kohen Midian. Again, I don't practice that way anymore. But Kohen Midian, again, wasn't only a religious position, it was a position of power and prestige and leadership. And yet Yisro said, no, I'm done with that. I don't need the honor, I don't need that on my stationery. It doesn't have to say Kohen Midian. Ma'os bekinoi zeh. Again, he was repulsed, he rejected that identification. V'lokach lo kinoi chosin Moshe. He says, I just want to be chosin Moshe. If my whole success in this world is that I married my daughter to a Talmud Chacham, which the Gemara says is an expression of clinging to God, then he says, that's good. I want to be Davak and Hashem. Davak and Hashem means I have a son-in-law as a Talmud Chacham. That's what the Gemara says. If you don't know how to become a Talmud Chacham yourself, marry your children off to Talmidei Chachamim. Support Talmidei Chachamim. Give money to Talmidei Chachamim. Right? And that's Vayikach Yisro. Look how he reads the Pasuk. What do the words say? Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. So again, Pashup Shad is that Yisro took, and the Pasuk says he took Moshe's wife, he took Moshe's children, and he's going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu. But the way that Rechayim is reading it, it's a beautiful drash. Vayikach Yisro, what did Yisro take? Chosin Moshe. That's what he took. After everything he had worked on in Midian, right? What did he take with him? He says, what's the sum total of all my life's achievements? Chosin Moshe. Vayikach Yisro, Chosin Moshe. Ma lakach? From the Beis Yuchsin, from the two titles that he had, Chosin Moshe, Lo Kohen Midian. That was the title that he wanted to take for himself and to be known by. Okay? Alright, let's jump ahead. In Pasuk Ches, Vayisaper Moshe, I'll just share it with you outside, because again, it's a hemshich of what we've been learning. Vayisaper Moshe, the Pasuk says that Moshe told Yisro, Es Kol Asher Asa Hashem. Everything that Hashem did, to Paro and to Mitzrayim, what do you mean? Twice now you've already told me that Yisro knows everything. You told me he knows everything because he's a gadol and gadolim, have access to the knowledge of things that other people don't know. And you told me he already knows everything because he cared about Klal Yisro and wanted to find out the details. So what's Vayisaper Moshe and Pasuk Ches that Moshe is telling Yisro all the details? So again, maybe he's adding details. Again, Yisro in his enthusiasm wants to hear more. Yisro wants to know, are any of the reports I got exaggerated? And Moshe says, no, it's absolutely true. Every bit of it's true. He told him about spiritual things that, again, weren't necessarily in the news, even for a gadol like Yisro. That the Tsar of Mitzrayim, that the ministering angel of Egypt, was also slaughtered. Whatever that means. Right? That the Malach of Mitzrayim also drowned by the Yam. And Yisro was so excited to hear this news, that what's a sign of a person who hears something and genuinely appreciates it? It's not just an intellectual awareness. Right? There should be a bodily response. And the next piece is a very beautiful piece. Vayichad Yisro, Pasuk Tes. Pasuk says, Vayichad Yisro al kol ha-tova, asher asa Hashem li Yisro. That Yisro, Vayichad Yisro. What does Vayichad mean? It's a strange word. Unkelis tells us that Vayichad, Unkelis translates the word Vayichad, Vachadi Yisro. Yisro rejoiced. It's not a typical Hebrew word. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, V'yichad Yisro, Targum Unkelis V'chadi. V'tzorach L'da'as Lami, Yedaber HaKosuv Kan Aramit. Why is the pasuk speaking in non-Hebraic language? V'lo amar lashon barish u'lashon hakodesh. Why does it say Yisro was happy? Use the shorash that we're a lot more familiar with. Right? Tell us Yisro experience. Simcha. What's vayichad? Okla says v'chadi. It doesn't seem to be a typical lashon hakodesh word. V'agam shamru chazal and yes, we know from the Gemara in Sota Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Yes, it's true. We know that there are other foreign words that creep into the Torah. Totafos, tot and fot are two different non-Lashon HaKodesh words that are combined to make up the four parts of the tefillin. So we know there are other languages that have a shaychus to Torah. Or really, they receive their shaychus from Torah, is a nicer way to say. Right? That they matter because they have a connection to Torah. But why here? What's the pshat? Now, tell me what you think the answer to his question is, because he doesn't answer it in this piece. So let's make sure we come back and actually answer the question. Look what he says. V'nira ki odia kasuv ki mirov ha-simcha nischadeid bisaro. What does chad mean?
One.
Chad, echod means one in Hebrew. What does chad mean in Hebrew?
Sharp.
So what does it mean? What does it mean, Vayichad Yisro? The simcha was such a simcha that what? Nischadeid bisaro. That his skin, his flesh, became sharpened. What does that mean? Goosebumps. Yeah? He could feel it. That feeling where you feel it in your flesh and in your bones. Right? And your skin is crawling with the feeling of something intense. When a person experiences a simcha that's beyond, that's totally beyond anything that you're used to experiencing, it creates a hargasha, it gives birth to a hargasha, where the various, again, parts of his emotions come together, they pull together. Sometimes a person can faint from an intense shmua, from an intense idea, you hear something. Lefam yistakin mamish, sometimes your life can literally be in danger. They were scared to tell Yaakov that Yosef's alive, you could die from it. Right? Think about Eli when he falls backwards off his chair when he hears that the Aron's been captured in war. Va'ayin masha pirashti b'vayigash, and the pasuk, od Yosef chai. When Yaakov finds out that Yosef's still alive. So therefore, being a Yisro, hagam shekodem etzlo yediyah mibesoros atovos. So yes, Yisro knew generally about the good news. Afal pichin kisheshama tochin anes. But when he heard all the details, and he saw the wonders, and he heard it from people who saw it with their own eyes, who experienced it up close. Gamberidifas hamalach, that had the malach of Mitzrayim chased after them, and the malach drowned in the sea, whatever that means. But Yisapar Moshe, right? That Moshe in the previous pasuk told Yisro everything. V'itzilam Hashem nischadid b'saro. His skin literally was crawling. Goosebumps. His hair stood on edge. V'davar zeh murgashu eitzel kol bal chayim margish. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, says the Archaim, you're basically not a living human being. Because any person, right, who has any feeling at all, you don't have to be a super intensely emotional person. Any human being who's alive has felt this experience. Maybe from something positive, maybe something negative. But we know exactly what I'm describing, says the Archaim. If you're a Baal Chaim Margish, if you're a human being who has any feeling. Now, what's the answer to the question? I don't see the answer to the question? I didn't see the answer to the question. What was the question? The Yesod is a beautiful Yesod. But it didn't explain why there's a Lashon Aramis here as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh.
He wanted to make the point of God. So
you're saying it is Lashon HaKodesh. You're saying it is Lashon HaKodesh, right? So that's, you could say, for sure, you could say, he's saying, Chad doesn't mean Simcha, Chad means pokey, and yet his skin was pokey. Goosebumps. Okay.
Yitro was fine, and then he came and was taken in. So to the word, it was fine.
Everybody feels like that answer.
Thanks, Kasha.
So Mashpia once told a story where two early Zionist leaders were out for a stroll on a hot day. And they were talking. It was a very hot day. And Ben-Gurion said to the other person he was with, they were talking in Hebrew, in modern Hebrew. And Ben-Gurion all of a sudden started talking in Yiddish. So he says back to him, so he said, why are you talking that repulsive language? We've rejected that, you know, we're modern Zionist settlers. We don't speak that old language. And he said back to him, he said, it's too hot today. I can't do the Hebrew thing today. I just got to speak Yiddish. Got to go back to Mama Lashon.
Yeah.
What's the pshat? The pshat is the first person's native language, right, is sometimes his ability to be able to express himself best in that language. So it could be what we're saying here by putting a foreign word in here, right, is that for Yisro to experience this, he had to experience it sort of in his original, natural kind of state. Now, I'm not saying that Yisro's, Mama Lashon was Aramaic, right, but it could be also that's what's being hinted to here. Right, that if Yisro is going to experience it in Klal Yisrael's language, he's not going to. The point is, Yisro experienced it in his own. He was able to feel it in the way that felt the most real. He didn't feel like an outsider to it. He didn't feel like a foreigner to it. He was able to experience it in a way that was natural to Yisro. Maybe. Okay. Fine. Good. Let's go on. Yud Aleph. Ati Yadati. Ati Yadati. Yisro says, "I'm so happy. It's so amazing. I never saw a God like this in my life." Wow, Baruch Hashem, what an amazing salvation. Now I know that the Jewish God is the greatest God of all. Says the Baruch Haim HaKadosh Perush, Ki Agam Sheyesh L'Umo Sarim Gedolim. Now again, he's still comparing, right? It's still a little strange, because if you're so from Yisrael, why are you saying, well, the Jewish gods are the best, but the other gods are also, like, they were also pretty good. Just not as good. The Jewish gods are the best. The Jewish gods are the best? What happened to Enod Mavado? I thought the Jewish God is the only real God. So, the Chaim HaKadosh actually explains it in a very literal way. Yes, Ki Agam Sheyesh L'Umo Sarim Gedolim V'Atzumim Lilachim V'Adam. Yes, the Umos HaOlam also. Now, you could take this more physical or more metaphysical. The Umos HaOlam have great leaders, great generals, great kings, who also are Elohim, are powerful. Or you could take it more spiritually and say, no, that even the nations of the world have what? Have ministering angels, have Malachi Shemayim, who also can do things on their behalf, can fight wars for them. The same way that again the Tsar, the Malach of Mitzrayim, was chasing after us by the Yam, that was a real kolach, trying to harm us. So yes, every nation has its powers. Again, whether it's in the form of its government and leaders, whether it's in the form of Malachi Shemayim who watch over that nation, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this type of God I've never seen. This type of power I've never seen. The precision. Look what he says. What's so great? What's he so impressed by? Look at the precision with which God responds. Even though I've seen great things, when a nation goes to war against another nation, they don't say, well, you harmed us in this way, so this is how we're going to fight you on the battlefield. We just want to kill you. We want to take revenge. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to what? To strike back with such precision. Bini Bechor Yisrael, you start off with my Bechor, I'm going to take your Bechor. Each one of the makos, as the Aruch Chaim was precise. Masha ein kein Elokei Yisrael, sheyachav ein limdod b'mida atzma shel amorid v'osa risha shika shokayem v'chulu. Exactly what they did, that's what they got. Gam yesh litlos b'ma'ora hara, ki lo mitzad shekeneg dohuka. Masha ein kein Elokei Yisrael, shekol amakos v'yisurin, asher yiser paro hein mechuvanim l'masha zadu aleihem. Normally when you strike the enemy, it's not mida. Mida connected Mida. But by Hashem, every bit of trouble they gave Klal Yisrael, they got right back at them. V'tzeyu l'mad, from the Medrash Tanchuma, b'kivun ha-makos, how the Medrash goes through each of the makos, and it aligns and explains each one, shekol achas connected Mida achas ra, shezadu ha-mitzrim. That each one corresponds to a particular evil, a particular injustice that the Mitzrim used against Klal Yisrael. So he said, this type of precision I've never seen. I've never seen a God who's able to have such a knowledge and such a precision in being able to take revenge against and to punish those who need to be punished. And obviously, Mida Tovim Ruba, to reward those who need to be rewarded. So we should never think, on the positive side, we should never think that, I did something and like maybe Hashem missed that. Hashem picks up on every little every little move that we make. I'll tell you a Shovim part, so we haven't spoken about Shovim enough. There's a Medrash about Yosef HaTzadik. The Medrash says that everything that Yosef was zochah to in Mitzrayim was Mida Keneged Mida. Everything that Yosef was zochah to in Mitzrayim was Mida Keneged Mida. What does that mean? It means that every bit of possible temptation that he faced from Eshes Potiphar, and every little bit that he refused her advances, he was rewarded for. So the Medrash goes through it step by step. The Medrash says he didn't turn his neck to look at her. So he wore the Pesukim described, he wore things around his neck. Right? And he ran away from her, so there would be people who ran ahead of his chariot. Right? And he didn't lift up his head, so he was like a king, he wore some type of crown. Right? And he didn't, you know, fall into her arms, so his arms were covered with, you know, big day malchus. So again, the Gemara Sota says he was a little bit nichshel with her. But the Medrash is saying every move he made to conquer that Yitzhar, that Taiva, right, was a Milo. Sometimes a person thinks, I'm about Taiva and I'm going to give it to my Yitzhar anyways, so might as well just, like, you know, might as well go all out with it. Lav dafka. If a person could, you know, could fight the Yitzhar a little bit, that's also a Madrigo. Every move, every body part, every move you make, right? Each limb that's used in an Aveira or in a Mitzvah is going to be precisely rewarded. So if you look at, if you see, you're walking down the street, and you see something tempting, and you know, Shmir Seinayim, I should guard my eyes, but for whatever reason, you know you're not. So look with one eye. Look with one eye. Who says you have to look with two eyes? That sounds ridiculous. You shouldn't look. And you know you shouldn't look. But why? Because if I choose to look, so I should look with... It's a Milo. It shows that I care. And you will be rewarded for that little bit. For every fiber of your being that you use to serve Hashem, you will be rewarded. You will absolutely be rewarded. Okay. Pasuk Yud Ches. This is a good one. Yeah, Rami.
Like,
that's what he's saying. I never saw Ati Adati. Wow, I never saw a God like this before.
Why do you wait till Matan Torah?
Well, there's a big machlokas in the Gemara in Zvachim when Yisro showed up. Right? I mean, right now we haven't got the Torah yet, so it seems like he came before. One opinion is he came afterwards. So that's a Shaila. But we're going to come, we'll touch on that chat. We're going to come back to that chat. Okay? This next piece, I don't know, it resonates with me, and I'm sure it's going to resonate with you, especially at the end of a long week. Take a look at Yud Ches. Yisro is giving Moshe Rabbeinu advice how to run Klal Yisrael. And he says, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't appoint people to help you, then guess what? Navol Tibol. Weary you shall be weary. You shall be so worn out. What is Navol Tibol? What's this double lashon of getting worn out? Kafal Omer Navol Tibol V'gomer. Why does it say Navol Tibol? We're in Pasuk Yud Ches. Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches. Lios Kiyesh Beiz Gedarim B'mashmos Tibol. Because being tired, being worn out, can express itself in two different ways. Aleph. Kol Sheyigara Kol Shu Mikocho HaRishon Yikari Alav Haleyus Le'erech HaKodem. One degree of being worn out is that what? Is that there's less strength than you had originally. And yes, you are called tired compared to how you feel when you're not tired. However, you're still able to do that which you need to do. You're doing it in a very schleppy way, but you're getting the job done. You're schlepping through. You're showing up. I'd like to come to shiur more awake. But okay, so I'm showing up tired. That's also a madriga. I'd like to get my work done with Yeshiva Das. Okay, so I'm getting my work done at the last minute and I'm very stressed by it. But that's one degree of being worn out. Where I'm worn out, where I'm tired, where I don't have the energy that I should have or I could have, but I'm still getting the job done. However, what's novel? Tibol. Yisro says, Moshe, you think you can just go on and on and on forever. Guess what? At some point, your mom's going to run out of energy. So for now, Moshe, you're willing to bear the brunt and it's a heavy load, but you're getting the job done. But Moshe, wait, I'm telling you, if you don't change something in your life, you're going to get burnt out. Va'beizhu ha'leyus. Ha'nirgash lakol. Right? There's another type of weariness that we all recognize. Shugoder hamoneya adam yasos chefso lesad ki lo yisha'er bo koach. There's another type of weariness that prevents a person from getting the job done because he literally has no more energy. So Yisro is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, the layus, the tiredness that I'm concerned about, is not the smaller, the lesser of the two. Moshe, navol tibol, you're going to get completely worn out. Elishir shekafia emes ikarlo tibol, to the point that you can't function, Moshe. V'hu masha gomer omer lo tuchal asohu levadecha. You cannot do this, Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not going to work. And if you think it's going to work, and you think you're getting by, I'm telling you, you're going to crash and burn. That's a very chashuv yisod. Again, on the positive side of Boris Hashem also. And if I think I'm going to wake up one day and be the Tzadik Hador, and everything's going to change, and suddenly I'm going to, you know, fire up the jets, and I'm going to have a perfect streak for the rest of my life, and never missing a minion, and never being tired, and never, right? And I push myself to be 100% all the time, so then, okay, for a while it'll last. And then for a while it'll say, well, you know, it's a little crazy, but I'm getting the job done. But eventually, you crash and burn. And then it sometimes takes a long time to come back to Torah, come back to Tefillah, to come back to real Yiddishkeit once you've burnt out. Yeah, it's Yitzchak Mordechai. Father-in-law can tell a son-in-law what to do. He's giving it, you know, gotta be respectful of the shver. No? Yeah.
Okay, so what's the suggestion?
The suggestion is everything that the Pesukim say. They set up a whole system of judges. You'll be the head. It's interesting. In the piece right before, Yisro accuses him of wanting to be like a power hungry person. Yisro says, Moshe Rabbeinu, why are you so obsessed with taking care of everything yourself? Why won't you let anyone help you? And Moshe says, that's not what it is. Moshe says, I would love for someone to help me. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Klal Yisrael only want me to judge their Dinei Torah. So if Klal Yisrael would be happy with, you know, lower courts, that would be great, Moshe says. This is not my idea. I'm not the one keeping them waiting online. But they want to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So Yisrael says, but it's not going to work. It's bad for you and it's bad for Klal Yisrael. So we have to find a system that can work for everyone. Okay? Turn the page at the end of Pasuk of Aleph. So the easiest way to find it is go to Yud Ches Chav Beis and then go backwards two paragraphs. The paragraph that begins Ve'isi Lasei Slev. What page? Shin Ayin Aleph. In some editions, Ve'isi Lasei Slev. He asked the question that we asked the other week when we were learning this to Trina Rebbe. Very easy, let's say, slave, Eich Zacha Yisro Sheti Kosev Al Yado Parsha Zo. How did Yisro get a Parsha named after him? How is Yisro Zocha to have a Parsha named after him? Again, at the end of the day, he's Kohen Vidya. That the Parsha of Kabbalah Sator should be named after Yisro? Look what the Rechaim says. And if you'll say, Nu, ask a question, ask another question. Pick another Parsha that you find the name to have the same question. Korach. Balak. So it's easier to understand Korach and Balak. Why? Because that's right. They're what the parsha is about. The parsha is about Korach. The parsha is about, all the more so, about Balak. Maybe it's more about Bilam, but okay, it's about Bilam and Balak. That's the merger of Bilam and Balak. But here, Yisro gets a nice start to the parsha, but the ikra of the parsha, come on, the asar sa dimros, kabbalah sa Torah. So why is Yisro Zochet to such a thing? Vein emes, kihu, kibed, Moshe, Eved Hashem. Yes, he had a lot of respect for Moshe, and he had a lot of respect for Torah. Vine scharo, shekibdo Hashem. He deserves to be rewarded for showing honor to Hashem. But Hashem could give him something else. You don't need to give him the parsha of the Aseret Divros. Give him something else. Elohai Hashem yochel lasos lo derech kavod acher. Lo bederech zeh, sheyera echos v'shalom. It almost makes it sound, says Lora Chaim HaKadosh, that if not for Yisro, we wouldn't have gotten the Torah. If not for Yisro, Klal Yisrael never would have gotten their act together. Nabal, Tibol, yeah, Moshe, Klal Yisrael would have fallen apart if not for me. We want to send that message? That Klal Yisrael without Kohen Midyan can't function? It's hard to imagine those things. Give him something else. You want to give him kavod? You want to give him kavod for giving Klal Yisrael kavod? For giving Moshe kavod? For giving Hashem kavod? So give Yisro a different kavod. To give him the name of the parsha is a hard thing. So he says, a beautiful yisod. And it also connects to what we were learning in Tzav Viziris yesterday. About simplicity. About simplicity. Look what he says. V'nira kitam adavar hu laharos Hashem. Espenei Yisrael hadorahu. V'chol dor v'dor. Hashem wants to teach Klal Yisrael then and all future generations. Ki yesh v'umos gedolim b'havanu uvaskala. There are people of the world. As much as we like to think we have the monopoly on wisdom, it's not true. We have the monopoly on Torah. But there's a lot of wisdom in the world. There are some very smart people on planet Earth. Yisro had a way of setting up the court system that with our Jewish cups we couldn't figure it out. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't figure it out. There's a way of doing things that the umos that they got it right. Yeah, I felt a little bad when I got stranded in Eretz Yisrael on my last trip, and I came back on Swiss Air. Right, I said, you know, like these people got it right. It was different than a more Jewish airline that I won't mention by name. I mean, it was a different. There's a different feel. There's a different. They have something about the way they provide a particular service that was very nice. So, I'm not gonna decide to identify with them more than the Jewish people. But it's okay in the right way to recognize a certain chachma, a certain mahalach, and things of the Umas Olam. But that's exactly what we're saying here. However, listen. Why do we want to introduce us to Yisrael? And really introduce to Yisrael, even to call the parsha Yisrael. We don't want you to ignore Yisrael. We want you to know there are Yisraels in the world. There are really smart, capable, successful, by their standard, Gentiles in the world. And they deserve the recognition. But guess what? At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still gave the Torah to us. Hashem chose us. Why? If they're so smart, if they're so capable, so why did Hashem choose a bunch of water schleppers like us? The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaKavanah B'zeh, Ki lo b'ha b'chir b'Yisrael l'tzad sh'yesh b'em haskala. We weren't picked because we're so smart. So yes, it's nice once in a while to throw around stats how many Nobel Prizes we've won compared to the other nations of the world, and given the size of our nation, what a strange thing that is. But at the end of the day, that's not the selling point for Klal Yisrael. We weren't selected because we're more outstanding, that we stick out in a certain way from all the other nations. And you know what the proof is? The fact that we're very aware that there are some really smart people out there called Yisrael. But Yisrael is coming to us. The same way Hashem is choosing us. The wisdom of Yisrael. Apparently Yisrael is smarter than us. And yet Hashem chose us. Why? A divine kindness that really goes beyond words, that can't really be explained. And because of the love that Hashem had for the Avos who chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with simplicity, when God didn't make sense at all, the way He was interacting with them, and yet they chose Him. So Hashem chooses us, even though, again, there might be other people who, on paper, look like they're more qualified to have God in their life. And he says, this is certainly true if you go with the Shita and the Gemara and Zvachim Kufta Zayin, that Yisrael came before Kabbalah Sotar. He says, you could also make it work if you say Yisrael came after Kabbalah Sotar. Right, that the Torah wrote it this way to teach us to put Yisroel in the Torah before Kabbalah the Torah, so that we would again focus on, yes, there are Yisroels in the world, and yet Hashem chose you. And that's something very special that we have to really feel in a deep way, and have a tremendous hakaras hatov to Hashem that I didn't earn this. It's Hashem in His kindness, He gave us His Torah. Yeah.
Who says a turkey can't be a prince?
Nachon. Who says a turkey can't be a prince? That's right. Yes.
So I'm an Amal Arts, so I can't really go against Torah Chaim, but can I also make a suggestion?
Sure.
That when Yisrael maybe was the only one who had the guts to say this to Moshe, maybe the other Jews were like, because Moshe is on such a lofty level, they're not going to make suggestions like this.
Okay, he's the only one who has the chutzpah.
Maybe it's not that he's smarter, right? He's
Right.
Because he's his father. But
why didn't Moshe get it? Moshe's so smart. Such a direct access to the wisdom of Hashem. Why didn't Moshe figure this out on his own? So Chachma b'Goyim Tamin. Chazal say, if someone tells you there's wisdom by the nations of the world, believe them. If someone tells you Torah b'Goyim, Al Tamin. No such thing. The type of wisdom that we call Torah, which again, only those who've learned Torah can understand what that means, Torah. Right? That's something that's unique to Klai Yisrael. Yeah?
What would be an example of like recognizing like a Yisrael-like quality in the outside world? Like,
Swiss Air.
Is it like in general, like in the outside world, really doesn't look good?
Yeah.
Sick pencils, London.
Innovations, medical breakthroughs. I don't know. Systems of whatever, of living. Yeah?
An example that I heard, like one of the closest people to coming is like scientists. When they are scientists, like all they care about is intellectual things, and like they don't really care about their group so much. They don't care about God. And all they care about is
anything in pursuit of whatever they're.
Looks, his hair, he doesn't really care about
right.
Hair, things like that. It's very similar to like.
Right. They're tapped into wisdom. They're seeking wisdom. That's a chashuv thing. Okay. I want to do Yud Tes Aleph, but I'm going to skip it because it's getting very late. So let's go to Yud Tes Beis. While you turn to Yud Tes Beis, I'll tell you Yud Tes Aleph. Perek Yud Tes, Klal Yisrael is getting ready for Kabbalah Sator. B'chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis B'nei Yisrael, Meretz Yisrael, B'yom Zeh Bo Midbar Sinai. A very simple question. Why did Hashem make us wait till Sivan to get the Torah? He took us out of Mitzrayim. Give us the Torah. What do you have to torture us for? Give us the Torah. So the first thing he says in Yud Tes Aleph is that we had to get Tumas Mitzrayim out of us. He says the Kala was ready. Kala was ready. The Torah was ready. The Chassan wasn't ready. Chassan needed time to clean up his act. So the Chassan had to undergo a period of waiting, the way that the Kala in Halacha, he says, waits 7 days to prepare herself for the mikvah, right? 7 days of cleanliness before a woman goes to the mikvah. So too, Klai Yisrael have to wait 7 weeks, Sefiras HaOmer, to prepare ourselves for Kabbalah HaTorah. Okay? So then he says, so why did Hashem take us to Har Sinai and let us get ready there? Because that would have been really torturous. To be standing at Har Sinai and to have to wait it out at Har Sinai, right? That's really rough. It's hard enough to wait for your wedding day to come around as it is, right? But imagine if they make you like live in the wedding halls for the 7 weeks before your wedding, then you're really gonna go out of your mind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Rachmanis slept us around and kept us busy, and you know that way we wouldn't. But when the time comes, the pasuk says Bayom, when the time comes, Bayom Azeh, immediately. When they're ready, Hashem immediately. Hashem doesn't want to make us wait a second. Now we come to the most famous Or HaChaim, maybe in the entire Sefer. The most famous piece, Yud Tes Beis. You have to chazer this every year before Shavuos. A simple question, and a gorgeous answer. What does it say? Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Aleph, B'chodesh HaShlishi L'tzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'aretz Tzrayim B'yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai. It was on Rosh Chodesh Sivan that they arrived in Midbar Sinai. Pasuk Beis, Vayesu Merafidim Vayovau Midbar Sinai. They travel from Rafidim to get to Midbar Sinai. Says the Orachaim HaKadosh, V'nahafachu, it's out of order. Tell me they packed their bags. Vayesu Merafidim, they left Rafidim. Then they came to Midbar Sinai. And then tell me, now they're in Midbar Sinai. Why tell me they're in Midbar Sinai? And then say, oh, by the way, here's where they came from. Here's where they traveled from. So here's the answer. Look what he says. Kasha, Lama Yicher HaMuktam. Ki pasuk zeh ha'ilo lahakdim kodem pasuk shelofanu. Pasuk beishri before pasuk aleph. Before it says bo midbar Sinai, you should say vayesumi refidim. They travel from refidim. Says the Orachaim HaKadosh. V'ulai. Shehu al derech omram, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. That ava mikal keles hashura lahakdim hamu'uchar. That sometimes there are such strong feelings of love that you're so mabulbal from the love that you can't even speak straight. The Torah is so excited to tell us that we're about to get the Torah. Hashem kiviyachol can't even speak straight. Hashem just needs to blurt out, we made it to Sinai! We made it to Sinai! Wait, hold on a second. Where did we come from? Let's slow down. We packed up our bags in Rafidim, we traveled to Midbar Sinai. Ava mikal keles hashura, literally. Love breaks the order of things. Sheliyos kihu zeh yo. Look at these words. Ki hu zeh yom hamakuva. This is the day that everyone's been waiting for. La Bore, La Torah, La Olam, La Elyonim, La Tachtonim. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, 2,448 years, we've been waiting for this moment. Umiyom Abriya, from the time of creation, we've been waiting. Ve'im Yoshum, Mitzapim, Masai, Yavau, B'nai Yisrael, Midbar Sinai. The sun, the moon, and the stars have been waiting. When are the Jewish people going to finally get to Sinai? Lezeh. And therefore, Kishiyigiyu Shama, Lo Otsru Koach L'Saper Seder HaDavar. The Torah can't hold itself back. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't hold himself back. It's a reflection of Klal Yisrael's feelings. We can't hold ourselves back. V'teikav Kodma Ho'odah Bo'amru V'yom Hazeh Bo. We made it to Sinai. Higiyu Chashuk V'Nechshak L'choshek V'Chashuk. Got that? A little tongue twister. Right? The lovers came together. Right? The one who loves attached to the one who wants to be loved by way of the thing which will be the source of their love. Hashem Kutribich Yisrael V'Arayis L'Chad. Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are one. That finally all the pieces came together. V'samchu shamayim v'aretz, kizehu tachlis habriya. This is what life is all about. That Jews should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of the Torah. V'tikvasa, this is the hope of the world. V'achar ka'achazor ha'kasuv, lo'diya pratan shel dvarim. And then the Torah slows down and says, oh, by the way, we should probably get the pieces straight. Let's retract. Let's take a step back. V'yusum refidim. And they traveled. Okay? Yeah.
One thing to say that Bnei Yisrael wrote the Torah, because Bnei Yisrael go out of order. But isn't it weird to say that, oh, Hashem was so excited that he put the pasuk out of order?
No. I don't think it's weird.
It's kind of like turning it into like a person that had mistakes.
Mistakes? This is not a mistake. You're not being able to speak straight when you're expressing your love for your beloved is not a mistake. That's not a mistake. And the fact that Hashem would want to convey such a message to us, that's not a shaila. We have that a lot of times. It's not any stranger than Nasa Adam, let us make man. Why would God put that in the Torah? Let us make man? How many gods are there? Moshe Rabbeinu called God out on that in the measure. She said, what are you talking about? What do you mean Nasa Adam? Hashem, what are you doing? You're setting yourself up, Hashem, to be rejected for Avodah Zarah. And Hashem says, I have a lesson to teach. Nasa Adam is a lesson. So there's no question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was conveying a lesson, but I don't even think you view this as a mistake. I think not being able to speak straight, there's a big machlokas also, you know. Ibn Ezra was very critical of some of the Paitanim that they didn't speak a proper Hebrew, that their grammar was off. So I think it was the Maharal, or Wolfson talks about this, I think in his writings on Pesach, in the Munos Yitecha. The Maharal defended the Paitanim and said, what are you talking about? No, they can't speak straight. It's not that they don't know how to speak Hebrew. So when you're writing love poetry for God, you can't, like sometimes you don't, you know, it's free-flowing, it's purely emotional. It's not going to be bound by the you know, the rigid rules of grammar and dictum. Just let it flow. Yeah.
I remember your brother one time told us, after God, he was always in the beginning of Parsha. Maybe it was Parsha Balak.
It was Balak.
Balak, yeah. He says that the first pasuk or something, and he says it's Roshei Tevos.
That Balak is Roshei Tevos, Vahafta Larecha Kamocha. Balak is Vahafta Larecha Kamocha. So he said, Vahafta is with a Vav. Kamocha is with a Chaf, not a Kuf. What do you say? That's right. When you love someone so much, you don't care about those little things.
Fire.
Balak. Okay, it's a little bit off. It's a bez and a vav. It's a kuf and a chaf. When you really love someone, because Ohev Yisrael was Ohev Yisrael. Yeah, there was a reason they gave him that name. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. Let's do. Can we do 5 more minutes?
Yeah.
We're not learning Megillah today.
Straight in the
draft. Sorry. But we have too much shir also. We have a lot of big gemara shir today also. But let's do this. It's Parshas Yisro. Let's go a few more minutes. Anyone needs a break, just take a break. Okay, but we got to do a few more minutes. Okay, he goes on. He says there are 3 preconditions for Kabbalah Satorah. He goes on in the next piece. I'll just summarize it outside. But you can see where he says Aleph, Inyan Beis, and Inyan Gimel. He says the pasuk itself is hinting to 3 prerequisites for Kabbalah Satorah. Number one, if you want to have success in Torah, you have to be a person who's passionate. If you're going to be lazy, if you're going to make excuses, if you're not going to study Torah with vigor, he says, right, with his amtsus gadol, he even says, his kabros, his amtsus, then you're not going to be successful in Torah. So number one, Vayis'u me Rafidim. You have to get rid of Rafidim. What do Chazal say on Rafidim? Rafi Yodayim and Torah. You have to get rid of the weakness. Right? Amalek came and weakened our hands from Torah. Number one, if you want to have success in Torah, the Pasuk says, Vayis'u me Rafidim. Stop being so lazy. Get serious about your commitment. If you want to Vayavo Midbar Sinai. If you want to come to Midbar Sinai. Number two, Vayachanu Bamidbar. The second precondition for Torah is Midbar. Humility. The Midbar is desolate. The Midbar is shiftless, anava, right? A place that's sole goal. It doesn't produce anything, the Midbar. Things don't grow in the Midbar, basically. What's a Midbar? A Midbar just gets trampled. That's all it is. That's what he says. Shakol Darchim Alev. So you have to be prepared to be trampled. In your love of Torah, you'll take a beating sometimes. But for Torah, it's worth it. Humility, shiftless, anava. Moshe Rabbeinu. And number three, the third thing that you need, is you need to work with others. You need to share Torah ideas. You need to realize that if you want to become successful in Torah, a Rebbe needs a Talmud, and the Talmud needs a Rebbe, and v'chulu. To share ideas with each other. How is that hinted to in the Pasuk? Because it says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, Lashon Yachid. You have to work together. If you think you're going to sit on your own and figure out the whole thing, you'll never reach the heights. A person needs someone to have a hashpa on that person. And then you have to be everyone has to be both a mashpia and a makabel. So that's, again, that's the Vayichan Sham Yisrael in Lashon Yachid. Okay. Yud Tes Gimel Ko Somar Leveis Yaakov. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe goes up the mountain, Moshe Ol Elokim. And Hashem says, Ko somar leveis Yaakov v'sageid levnei Yisrael. I'm not going to read the whole piece inside. It's a long piece, but it's a very important piece, and I don't want to skip it. What does it mean? Why does it say, Tomar leveis Yaakov, tageid lebnei Yisrael? What does Rashi say? Who's Beis Yaakov? Who's Bnei Yisrael? Beis Yaakov are the women. Yisrael are the men. How do you speak to women? Gently. Tomar. Amira. Lashon Amira is Lashon Raka. Soft. Gentle. How do you speak to a man? You gotta be strong. B'sageid l'bnei Yisrael. Kasha kegidim, Rashi's Lashon is. Right? That it should be firm and tough like a gid, like a sinew. That ties together the body. Firm. Strong. Okay. Or Chaim thinks it's a nice medrash. It's a nice idea. Rashi quotes it. But he says, I don't think that's really the pshat. So what's the pshat? He says the pshat is that we know that Hashem loves us more than anything in the world. And more than we love Hashem, and more than we want to receive Hashem's goodness, Hashem wants to bestow His goodness upon us. But as we've learned several times, while Hashem is kulo tov, kulo ahava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure we have a healthy relationship with Him. There needs to be a balance of ahava and yira. And he references what we learned, if you remember, the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, where Hashem says, Moshe, at the end of Shemos, when you started accusing me, why did you do these terrible things for the Jews? Why is it only getting worse for the Jews? You didn't save them like you said you'd save them. And Hashem says, Chutzpah, Moshe, you're too comfortable. You can't talk to me like that. That's not the way you talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though I love you. There needs to be a balance of the two. So says the Orachaim HaKadosh, that's what this Pasuk is actually saying. That to every Jew, Tomar Lebeis Yaakov, Bisageid Lebnei Yisrael. That everyone should hear this dual message of what? Of Ava and Yira. Look at the very end. Just go to the end of Pasuk Gimel. Yud Tes Gimel. Go to the last couple of lines. He says, Nimtseisa. Nimtseisa Omer. What the Pasuk is saying. Ki tovim ashnaim. You need both. Vitzorech behem lekiyum haTorah. You need both these things to ensure the upkeep of the Torah. Vitzorech kol ish Yisrael. Liknos shneim Ava v'yira. A person needs both. Because he says it very straight. He says, if you're too much focused on the Ava, then you're going to make excuses for yourself way too often. God loves me. So I did this Avera, or I missed out on this mitzvah opportunity. Hashem is understanding. And He is. But if it's kulo ava, that's really dangerous. And if it's kulo yira, you'll become depressed. So there has to be a balance. You need a balance of ava and yira. Shneim yachad, omram kel elyon b'ni'imis devarav, v'omra atem re'isam atem asisi. Yeah, he goes on and explains the next pasuk, how the various phrases coming up continue to express that balance. I'll give you a piece that he says on Perichov Pasuk Aleph. What's the first thing that God ever said to us? Where do you see the balance in the opening words of the Aseret Divros? What does Hashem say? Anochi? What does that mean? Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Yeah, that's what he writes. Perecha, Pasuk Aleph. He says, why use the Shem Elokim? Vayadabri Elokim eskol edvar me'ela le'mor. Anochi Hashem Elokacha. So he says, that's exactly this balance. Perecha, Pasuk Aleph says Elokim. Anochi Hashem. And Elokecha could be really a combination. It could be very personal and loving. Elokecha, singular, I'm your God. It could also be more Midas Hadin, Elokim. So there has to be a balance. If you want to be a healthy Jew, you have to be a balanced person. You can't walk around in fear that God's going to strike you down, and you can't be Morah Heter to yourself to do a veira saying, oh, Hashem loves me and I can get away with whatever I want. Even though the love is very strong and very real. Okay? Let's finish up. A couple final pieces. Go to Vayisim Li Segula. Perek Yutes. Pasuk, it's the middle of a long thing. Hey, the piece, it's Perek Yutes Pasuk Hey, but if you see the beginning of Hey, it's probably five or six paragraphs in. Vayisem li segula. What does it mean when the Pasuk says, Perek Yutes Pasuk Hey, that Klal Yisrael are a segula? What does it mean to be a segula? Vayisem li segula mikol ha'amim. How would you translate segula? He translates it in the way that people use the word segula today. A segula. Not something that makes sense, al piteva. The sign has totally lamalim in a town. Vayisem li segula, again, beautiful words. Look what he says. Hakavana b'zehi. Ki kashem sha segula hu davar she'eno kafi ha'teva. Just like a segula does not make sense rationally, naturally. But it works. It's special. It's unique. Ki alo timsa ki yesh esef shetivo karas gulaso l'rapos chole akrivas. You have medicine, right, which itself is cold and it heals a certain coldness of a person. And you have things that are hot. You have medicinal products that are hot by nature, and they can help a person who has an illness that comes from the overheating of the body. So that doesn't make sense. It's backwards. So too, that you are my segula, even though it doesn't make sense. Even though Yisro is smarter than you. Even though the nations of the world are sometimes more refined than you. But Hashem says, you're a Klal Yisrael. You're my Klal Yisrael. And I choose you. You're my beloved. Okay? Three final tiny little pieces. Number one, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutes. The Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke and Hashem responded. At Kabbalah Satorah, strange Lashon. Right? It says that Moshe Yidaber, V'alokim Ya'anenu Bakol. What does it mean, Moshe spoke and Hashem responded in a voice? He says a very short, beautiful idea. Ulai Yotes Yotes, Ulai Shahaya Moshe Medaber Lefnei Hashem Divrei Shir V'Shevach Kemekabo Pnei Melech Gadol Baruch. What was Moshe doing while Hashem is talking to Klai? Moshe spoke and Hashem responded. What was Moshe saying? He says Moshe was singing to Hashem. The Jews stood at Har Sinai, and everyone knew the Ningen of Kabbalah Satorah. The same way at Oz Yashir, they were singing over their salvation. Well, this is also part of their salvation. Moshe Rabbeinu was singing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that very moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transmitting the Torah to Klal Yisrael. It's a beautiful idea. Next, Pasuk Chav. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down on Har Sinai. Take a look. Three paragraphs in to Pasuk Chav. Od Yirtza Lo'odia. Ki Kishayarad Hashem. Perish. Kishayishchil Lahorid. The Pasuk says, Vayerad Hashem al Har Sinai. So he asked the question for the Gemara in Sukkah. Hashem doesn't come down. Hashem doesn't rest below 10 Tvachim. So what does it mean Hashem is on Har Sinai? And he says in the third paragraph again, Od Yirtza Lo'odia, Ki Kishayarad Hashem, when Hashem started to descend, Perish, Kishayishchil Lahorid, Shechinasa, when Hashem began to descend, Ra'ash Hahar, the mountain, knowing that Hashem was coming towards it, began to tremble, to quake, to shake, Va'ala L'krasso, and the mountain started running towards Hashem. Ke'eved Ratz L'fnei Ravo, like a servant running towards its master. So you'll say, that's nice, that's poetic. He said, I'm not being poetic, I'm being literal. I'm being literal. V'zehu shira kosav v'yevet Hashem. V'adayin lo gila kosav la'iza makum yarad. V'odiyah pu'ula sahar. Before it even tells you where Hashem came to, it switches over to the mountain. Yes, because the mountain was responding. Hagam heyoso domim shenase balchai. Even though the mountain is a rock. A mountain can't run, a mountain can't go up, a mountain can't move, but the mountain came alive. It became like a Baal Chai. Achius was injected into the mountain. And the mountain started to move towards Hashem before Hashem even moved towards the mountain. So look how the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're like, brings things to life. It brings a mountain, a dead mountain, rocks. and grass, it brings it to life. The whole mountain took on a different form. Because again, when you're in the presence of the Shekhinah, by Kabbalah Satorah, that's what happens. You come alive. Torah makes a person alive. Gives a person a chiyus. And last but not least, since this is our Erev Shabbos Shir, take a look at Chaf Yud. Sarah said, Dibros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos. We haven't seen so many gematrias in our Achayim HaKadosh. Here's a gematria. Look what he says. Vayom HaShvi. The Pasuk says, Perechav, Pasuk Yud. Vayom HaShvi, Shabbos LaHashem Elokecha, Lo Saseh Chol Malacha. Says the Achayim HaKadosh, Perish. Ki Be'asoso, Shabbos LaHashem, Bazeh Ata Osa Hashem, Ki Hu Elokecha. By keeping Shabbos, you make Hashem God. Hashem is only a God in this world as much as we keep the Shabbos. Like it says in the Medrash, Kishakul Shabbos Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. Shabbos is compared to the entirety of the Torah. And I'll give you a remez to prove it, he says. Ulai Kiramuzahi Kol Torah B'teva Shabbos. How does the word Shabbos, Gematria 702, hint to the entire Torah? What do you say? Look what he says. Azeh Adarach. Tafresh Yud Aleph Hey Mitzvos Shalosh Shama Mipi Gvura El Mipi Navi. 611 Mitzvos we heard from who? Moshe. How do we know that? Where's the Gemara that says we heard 611 from Moshe? End of Makos. Very good. End of Makos it says Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Torah is Gematria 611. So 611 we heard from Moshe. The first two Anochi and Lo Yelecha we heard from Hashem. What is Anochi and what is Lo Yelecha? It's really, in one phrase, it encapsulates all of the positive of our relationship with Hashem and all of the negative. All of mitzvah saseh and all of mitzvah lo saseh. Anochi is the positive. Lo yi'alecha, don't have other gods, is the negative. So it really captures within it, again, the positive and the negative. Midas hachesed and midas hadin. So he says, what's another way of saying that? Anochi, so to speak, is Hashem as Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Lo Yielecha is Hashem as Midas Hadin Aleph Dalid Nun Yod, the way that the name is pronounced. Right? That's where Shabbos Befrat, we have Zachar Veshomer, B'Dibur Echad. So he says, if you take 611, the 611 that we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu, plus Yudke Vavke, which is the positive, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, plus Aleph Dalid Nun Yod, doesn't sound like a Rechaim HaKadosh. Yeah? So if you take Havaya, Yudke Vavke, 26. Plus Aleph Dalet Nun Yod 65. Plus 611. What do you get? 702 Shabbos. So what do you see? Shabbos is connected to Kula. Shabbos is connected everything. Shabbos is the all-encompassing mitzvah. So Ritz Hashem, we have a lot to think about this Shabbos. Baruch Hashem. We saw a lot of Torah. A lot of things to think about. There's other pieces where he expresses the love. Every piece by Kabbalah Satorah is just another expression of the love. Again, in balance. But it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. And let's not forget, Hashem didn't choose us because we were the most worthy. Hashem chose us because we're segula mikol ha'amin. We should feel that. We should be able to feel that in our lives. Shkoyach. Oh, yeah.